How many of you know men and women are different? We think differently, we feel differently, we act differently, we approach life differently, we reason differently, we communicate differently, we're different. And as much as that is common knowledge that pretty much all of us, if we've lived long enough, we've come to realize that, yet one thing that we might not have come to realize is that piece is a contributing factor to why many people struggle to maintain sexual purity before the Lord. The difference between a man and a woman. And we are going to walk into a scenario in which part of what is a guide for us is the way Adam and Eve respond when God confronted them over their sin in Genesis 3. If you remember, Eve's response was, well, Lord, it was the serpent. It wasn't me, it was him. And Adam's response was, well, Lord, it was the woman that you gave me. It wasn't me, it was her. And we live in a society today with this issue and many issues that this is often the way we respond to things, is, Lord, if it wasn't for him, if it wasn't for her, if men wouldn't act like that, if women wouldn't act like that, I'd be fine. And we're going to see this morning that this is not actually where God wants us to sit with this. And what we're going to do is take the things that we know, that we've experienced in life, and we're going to go to four places to get some principles to utilize, to change our perspective, and to let ourselves be altered and adjusted. Anybody ever need adjusted by God? Perspective, your life, your attitude. Anybody ever need that, like, daily? And so we're going to go in there, and we're going to get an adjustment. And then we're going to walk away from that and look at some other things that we know that maybe we're not thinking about, or maybe we, if we think about it enough, we'd realize. And we're going to take those principles and run it through those things and find ourselves being adjusted even more so. And I'm going to first pick on us men, and there's a reason for that. One is because us guys, I'm among you. And so as much as I might try to do different things, I am not a woman. Now, in a couple of weeks, we'll deal with homosexuality, and we'll talk about that. There is confusion with that. I know I'm a man. But because of that, there are things that I might say that you ladies might say, well, you just don't understand. And in some ways, that's a reality. And so because of that, I need to start with us guys first. And some of it is because if I don't start with the guys first, some of you ladies won't listen to me if I don't go there first. So I'm going to address us men first. And guys, does that mean I'm not going to get to the ladies? No, we're going to get to them second. First, we're going to start with us men. When we face this thing of sexual purity, and again, overlap, these principles can apply to most flesh struggles, not just sexuality, but especially applying to them. Guys, when we face sexuality, if we're honest with ourselves, and listen, I'll say it so that you can later just say, I don't know what he was talking about. I don't think like that. I'm not like that. That's never crossed my mind. That's all Pastor Danny. And no, I won't rat any of you out, though I could, because I've heard some from you. I've heard some from people outside the church. This is the way a man at times will think about his sexual struggle. He will think, you know, if ladies wouldn't dress like that, if they wouldn't behave that way, if they wouldn't move their bodies in that way. Wasn't it you two that sang the song, She Moves in Mysterious Ways? If they wouldn't do that, if ladies wouldn't put themselves out there in various images on the internet and other places, if they wouldn't do that, then I wouldn't do what I'm doing. It's the woman, God, that you gave me. When if we think about it, there's a couple of principles that one we're going to take from 1 Corinthians 7 that is going to shake that up a bit and give us an adjustment. And don't we do that? All of us do that when we're struggling with some flesh issue. Don't we look outside of ourselves and say, you know, if this and if this and if this. And yet 1 Corinthians 7 verse 5 says, do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement for a limited time that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again. Why? So that Satan may not tempt you. And why might Satan tempt you? Because it's her fault. That's why he might tempt me. Because she dressed that way. Because I went to the beach and they dressed that way. Because I went online and this advertisement popped up. Because I was in this area and I saw that. Because she acted that way. That's why, right? That's what Corinthians says, right? The reason why we've crossed the line is because of what she did or what she didn't do. When in reality, what does it say? Because of your lack of self-control. Guys, we need to embrace the reality that if we cross the line of impurity, no matter what's happening on the other side of that line, no matter what she's doing, she's not doing, whatever is happening around us in our culture, if we cross that line, the reason why it happened is because we didn't have self-control. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Self-control. If we are truly doing the things we've talked about over the past few weeks, if we're taking it God's approach and we're doing things God's way, if we're connected with the Holy Spirit, we would have self-control, irregardless of what is on the other side of that line. It's because of my lack of self-control. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted by what's on the screen. Each person is tempted by the way the woman behaved and dressed. Each person is tempted by what his wife didn't do. Isn't that what that says? No, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. We guys sometimes think that the reason why we cross that line is the other person tempted me to cross it. And I would not have done that. I would not have behaved that way if it wasn't for that woman. When in reality, we have to know and admit that before that woman came along, before that image came along, the desire was already there. The woman coming along or the image coming along, all that that did was made it come outside. It made us act on it. It's not made us, but it brought it to that place. And men, we will never be pure. We will never find deliverance. We'll be stuck in that cycle of needing God's help and wanting purity and falling again and going through that vicious cycle. We'll never get to that if we don't own that our sin choices are nobody else's fault but our own. We will not get there unless we take this route. So let's think through some practical applications of that reality and run it through seven things that many of us, at least men, know is the reality of what's happening in us as we experience life, which may be eye-opening. One, it'll be eye-opening for us men in understanding why women do some of the things that they do. And I know why women do the things that they do because I read a book. That's how I know. That's part of the reason why I know. Part is because I'm married. Part is because I talk to some of you ladies and I discover these things because I pay attention. And us men at times think that women do certain things because of specific reasons and we're misunderstanding why women are doing the things that they're doing. And if we were to adjust that with keeping in mind these two principles, something might change in the way we behave and we just might be able to not cross that line. So what are the seven things? Well, the first three have to do with the reason why women attempt to make themselves look wonderful. And this will be eye-opening for some of you women when we describe what men are thinking you're doing when you do that. First reality is the reason why women are trying to look good is not because they're trying to be the woman in Proverbs 5, the adulterous, seductress woman. It's not because they're trying to lure you in. It's not always. No, that is sometimes the case, but not always, not usually. It's not because they want you to fall into lust and sin, and they hope that you sin and cross that line. That's not why. And some of you men at the moment are scratching your head and thinking, well, then why do they do that? You want to know why a lot of women do that? Because it feels good to be attractive. It has nothing to do with you, men. It has nothing to do with lust, temptation, seduction. It has nothing to do with that. Because for a woman, it feels good to look good. That's why they're doing it. And if we understood that, we might not have the sour attitude that we have at times. Well, it's her fault because she's trying to be a seductress. That's not actually really what's happening, at least not all the time. Second thing to consider in this whole attraction thing is it's amazing how we can assume, men, that she's trying to attract me. There are other men around. Why in the world would we think that she's trying to come after me because she's making herself look good? Isn't it possible there's some other person she's looking to look good for? In fact, many times it's her husband that she's attempting to look good for. And the question for us is, should a wife only try to look good when her husband's the only man around? Is that really a reasonable request for us to have? Thirdly, I want us to consider this, because sometimes a woman is looking to attract a man and she doesn't have a specific man in mind. That still doesn't mean she has you in mind. And keep in mind that you are not attracted to every woman either. If it is okay for you to not be interested in a specific woman, then why can't this woman not be interested in you? Is that a problem? Is that an issue? Are they sinning in doing that? And we have to understand a woman's behavior and why she is dressing the way that she is. Fourthly, this one is I have personal experience with, not from being the one tempted, but not that I haven't been tempted, but I mean, I'm a man. I mean, I was a teenage boy at one point too. A woman being nice or smiling does not mean she's trying to seduce you. I know I get applause from women. Just you wait, ladies. You'll get some applause from men in a little bit here. But for some reason, us guys think smiling and being nice means flirting. And you ladies are thinking, that's what they thought? That's what a lot of guys think. If you're being nice and smiling at them, you're flirting at them. I've personally experienced this a few occasions when we're at a restaurant and I'm with my lovely wife and she's nice and she's sociable and she talks and she smiles. And I've noticed some waiters start to kind of behave a little differently. Now, not that they tried to ask for her phone number or anything. I'm sitting right there. But I could tell that they thought she was interested in him right in front of the husband. Why? Because she smiled. How dare she? Because she was friendly. The nerve of some women. Proverbs 5, seductress women out here going around smiling at men and being nice. And we can laugh at this when we bring it up, but when us men are in the moment, and the passions arise within us. Lord, it's the woman. That's why that thought entered my mind. It was her. Wasn't there before she showed up. Bring biblical truth and realities to our experiences. Fifthly, you must understand that just because you can see a woman's figure does not mean she's dressed immodestly. Does not mean that. Now, there is immodest dress. There is. But just because you can see her figure does not mean she's being immodest. I mean, what do we want? Do we want to be like some Muslims are, where the woman has to dress covered in all black so you can't see any shape whatsoever? I don't know if that's a man or a woman because of that baggy material. And the only thing I actually see are the eyes. Is that what we expect a woman to put herself through if we're going to be able to be pure before God? Just because that figure's there doesn't mean she's dressed immodestly. However, no, well, ladies, you're not yet. Hold on. It's coming. We're all fun and games until I start picking on ladies, and we're in trouble. There is an exit right here, so I will be prepared for that. That's what I want to throw in there. But men, seriously, think about this. You do not actually need all that much help for that to enter your head. Your imagination can go there even if the black garb is there. It doesn't take a lot for us. And is that really the fault of a woman? Does she really need to adjust that much to prevent that in us? Six. And the children are downstairs this morning, so we're a little safer. Just because a woman ends up in a certain posture or pose does also not mean she's trying to seduce you. And so if a woman moves in a way or even dances in a way, not that any of us ever see anybody dance, none of us does that, does not mean she's trying to put the moves on you. Does not mean she's trying to put that thought in your mind. Many times when she dresses or when she moves her body, the idea of sex isn't even in her mind at all. Yet it's in the mind of us men. Why? Because it's always in our minds. It's not her. 7. A woman's lack of interest, and this has to do specifically with people who are married, a woman's lack of interest in sex, husbands, does not mean that she doesn't love you, doesn't care about you or your desires or your struggles, does not mean she doesn't want you, does not mean that she will never want sex again. But in a moment, especially if a husband is really, really craving that and the wife says no or is not available, these are things that crosses the husband's mind. She doesn't love me. She doesn't want me. She doesn't desire me. She never wants to do that again. And if you think that way, how are you going to feel towards your wife? What's your attitude going to feel towards her? It's going to be sour. Bitterness can show up in there, and then the relationship dynamic can change, and you also might find yourself justifying your actions. Because if she was this, or if they weren't being like that, I wouldn't cross the line. And we have to remind ourselves that approach is not biblical. It's not. The desires are coming from within here, and it's because of my own lack of self-control. Now, here's where the scary part begins. Husbands, or men in general, but husbands, have you ever known that you were going to have a conversation with your wife and you were terrified? Or with your mother or sister or just a woman in general? You ladies don't know this, but even though we might be strong and not feelings-oriented most of the time and those kind of things, we're afraid of you sometimes. You're scary. In part, that's some of the reason why we don't say a lot around you. So, nonetheless, I'm going to face my fears here. Are we ready? 2 principles for ladies. One, I won't read the entirety of the 1 Peter 3. I don't know if Bonnie's putting it up there. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 6. I won't read its entirety, but you can read it and you can get the gist of it. It'll be coming eventually. Or you can look it up or it'll be in your notes. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6 talks about the modesty of women. Now, while dress is a part of that, the predominant thing that's surfacing in that language is the way women adorn themselves, whether it's jewelry, makeup, whatever it is. And did you know that it is satanic to wear makeup? If you know that, Leviticus 9, verse 13. Just kidding. But like I said, women will do themselves up because it feels good to look good. And there's not anything wrong in that on its own. But there's a reason why Paul is saying, be careful the way you do yourself up. Now, why? Why does that matter? Why does it matter the way I dress myself and the way I appear and the way I move and all of those things? Why does that matter? And I want you to know, ladies, that a guy's sin is not your fault. That is not at all what this is saying. In fact, there was a pastor in Missouri that recently got in trouble and partially was a misunderstanding of men and women, partially was because he said a lot of wrong things. And he pretty much said that it's women's fault that men struggle sexually. That's the reason. And we just saw that that can't be the reason. But despite that, there is a role that you ladies play in the journey for us to find purity, both for you as well as for men and as well as for a society to be cleansed. And part is the modesty, but why? Why does it matter the way that I dress and the way that I behave? Romans 14, which specifically is speaking of meat sacrificed to idols. But we know, because he uses the word like everything in this passage, that meat sacrificed to idols does not need to be the only thing that fits in this model of these principles of what we're going to do here. You ready for this? Romans 14, verse 15, for if your brother is grieved by what you eat. Now again, the emphasis is on meat sacrificed to idols, but we can throw in there by the way you dress, by the way you move, by the way you act. If your brother is grieved by that, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Do not, verse 20 and 21, do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean. So it's fine. Dress, those things, behavior, fine. Everything is indeed clean. But it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats specifically, but by anything that we do. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. Ladies, when you go to get dressed, you are not the cause of someone else's sin. However, if when you go to get dressed, if you behave certain ways, if you are not at least considering, how will this affect my brothers in Christ? Then you are failing to walk in love according to Romans 14. Now the outcome of that is going to depend upon conscience. Because nowhere in the Bible are you going to say that women can't wear shorts. And for some guys, that's all they need to be tempted. But should a woman not be able to wear shorts because of that? By no means does this mean the application is a woman can't wear pants or form-fitting clothing. Despite that, I don't know if some of you have been in movements in the past where it was believed that a woman was being a seductress just for wearing pants or wearing a bathing suit or things like that. The goal here isn't to decide what you should wear. And guys, by the way, there's your responsibility and there's the responsibility of ladies. Your responsibility is not to be the modest guard and go around and say, yeah, ladies, you shouldn't wear that. You shouldn't dress that way. That is not what you're supposed to do. Apart from maybe if you're a husband or a father, there are certain roles there. But for the most part, you guys aren't supposed to go around to take care of that. That's the lady's responsibility to stand before God as she gets herself ready, as she prepares, as she goes out and behaves certain ways. It's the woman's responsibility to think, Lord, is it loving for me to dress this way? And whatever the outcome is whatever the outcome is. Although, I want us to consider, this has always kind of puzzled me, that while there are bathing suits, bikinis, just an FYI, not drawing a conclusion, just trying to draw a parallel here. Bikinis, by the way, is a woman just walking around in her bra and underwear. I mean, that's as far as cover, that's really the same. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, just saying that that's equivalent. So if you're okay walking around in your bra and underwear, then you're okay to wear a bikini. I'm keeping an eye on that door over there. Yeah, my car's over there, though. I have a little bit of a run to make. So again, ladies, I hope that you're hearing me. That while I'm not as a lady, you as a lady, you're not responsible for a guy's actions, you are responsible to be considerate and loving. And men, though we cannot demand certain actions and behaviors and dress from women, we are responsible to not cross that line. So, seven realities we want to think through where it might be eye-opening for some of us, for some of you ladies, and for some of us men as well. Ladies, I want you to understand that in order for you to know how to not be tempting with your body and the way you move the body, you have to start to think like a man a little bit, which is a scary place to go, just so you know. That when a woman, and I'll just, this is where I'll be a little frank, when a woman bends over, you need to consider what's happening when you're doing that. Does that mean a woman can't bend over and pick something up? No. But all that means is I'm being mindful of how am I affecting somebody else and considering that. Whatever the outcome is, whether you bend over and pick it up or not, isn't really as big of a point of am I acting in love? And so if a woman starts to think, and I don't know if the guy will tell you, but you can ask your husband how he thinks, and we'll see, but he might not tell you because he might be too terrified. Yamika might watch a sitcom and might be able to pick up some of it. Secondly, and this really has to do with the way you see yourself and not the way I see you. Because in my mind, all you ladies are beautiful. But in your mind, some of you, you don't think that you are. And you think that by that view of yourself, then therefore you're excluded from this because you are not tempting to anybody because of what you think of yourself. I want you to understand that there is not a woman on the face of the planet that doesn't have someone that's not attracted to her. Some of it has to do with personal preference. Have you ever found somebody, figured out that they were attracted to someone, and you thought, why? Man or woman, you thought, what? What are you seeing there? Yeah. Have you had your eyes checked yet? Or ever seen, you know, certain married couples, and you think, especially if you got like this gorgeous person and this not so gorgeous person, and you're thinking, how? How did that happen? You want to know how? Because not everybody has the same taste. And not everybody is, thanks Alma, not everybody is always focused primarily on the external. Also know that when men are without long enough, their standards of who's attractive to them begins to go lower. And again, not saying that any of you ladies aren't attractive. I'm saying that some of you ladies think that you're not, and because of that, you think that you're excluded. Do not ever think that you're excluded from this. Always think how, by the way, I'm dressing, behaving, how am I potentially affecting the brother in Christ for whom Christ died? Not responsible for their sin, but I am responsible to love them in that regard. Thirdly, this is going to be a hard pill for some of you ladies to swallow. For a man to want to have sex with a woman, for a man to notice a woman as beautiful and to notice her figure is not perverted. It is not a perversion for a man to be sexually attracted to a woman and to want to act on that. That is not a perversion. If you look up the definition of perversion, you know what a definition of perversion is? Something that is not ordinary. And if you guys were to embrace men and understand men, you would know that their interest in sex is all too ordinary. It is. And it's also the way that God designed men to be attracted to women. Did you know that? And this is what happens, is many women think that it's a perversion for a man to be interested in her. Or even if she smiles and he thinks, want her. That's not perverted. And we need to understand that. Now, there are things that are perversion. There are sin lines, absolutely. But simply the desire is not a perversion. Four, this is for wives. A wife who is regularly sexually available and interested in her husband will have a husband that is seldomly tempted with sexual sin. Does that mean he's never tempted with sexual sin? No. Does that mean that it is her fault that he sins? No. But a loving gesture, if someone is thinking, what can I do for this person to help this person be loved, to help this person live the right way before Christ, what can I do? A loving wife would say, I need to keep that in mind. I need to consider that. And again, I'm looking for the door over there. The question will be if tonight, which my wife is amazing, by the way, but if tonight, if I'll have a bed to sleep in. Thankfully, the mission house is over there, so I have some place to stay if I have to. I'm sweating here. Is my face red, by the way? Just because I'm hot. By that I mean I'm incredibly attractive. Yes. Thank you. Glad that came from a man. 5. A man is naturally wired to take notice of a beautiful woman. Does that mean that it's not a sin to lust? No. But a man is naturally wired that way. And a question for ladies is, how much should a man see before he's provoked to action? How much of your body or your behavior or your figure should he have to endure to see and not be tempted to cross the line? Again, it's not women are not to blame for man's sins. But women do have to consider. So when you consider how you're going to dress, how you're going to appear, how you're going to act and interact, and how you're going to move your body, and especially when you consider certain things like number of young girls today that are prancing around all over the internet on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram and posing in different ways, what are we potentially doing for the brother in Christ for whom Christ died? How much must a man endure before he is enticed? 6. A woman must, and this may help you with some of your compassion towards men, is that this is the context for which a man lives in. This is his context. A man is, by our society and by the people around them, is constantly invited to act on his sexual impulses. Constantly. And the moment that he does show any interest at all, he's scalded for it. Now, should a man cross the line? No. But that is horrible, that this is what we've placed upon men, placed upon young teenagers, that we've placed upon them, that we're begging you to be interested in this thing, and the moment you are, you're a horrible human being. Again, does that mean we shouldn't live up to God's standards? Absolutely not. But certainly there needs to be some compassion and grace thrown around as well. 7. Ladies, I want you to consider that to men, you often send mixed signals, many times unintentionally. Because I've heard, and you've probably said, women say, oh, how disgusting it is for men to treat me like a piece of meat. But think about that you don't want men to treat you like a piece of meat, but you're preparing yourself to be put on display. Now, again, as I said a moment ago, I understand that really your motive is because it feels good to look good. But understand, you're saying, look, I look amazing, but don't look at me that way. It confuses men. And we have to at least understand that. Does that mean I need to change the way I dress? Not necessarily. The way I act, the way I behave, not necessarily. But a woman must at least respect the reality that a man sits in and care for the man, the brother in Christ for whom Christ died. Lastly, and there's references for this. Again, if you want the notes, I'd be glad to give them to you. But for the sake of time, I'm just going to mention the ideas to you. We have all this stuff swirling around us. Is it any wonder we need a lot of grace? A lot of grace. Us individually before God, oh, whether it's sexuality or other flesh issues, we need so, so much grace. And because of that, and that's why God is always inviting us to do this, we need to show the people around us, oh, so much grace. Did they cross a line? Did they behave in a way they shouldn't? Did they dress a way that maybe they shouldn't? Oh, all possible things. They're all the more reason why we need to show so much grace to the people that are around us. And yet at the same time, we cannot allow our gracious demeanor to drop all of God's standards. His standards, as Jesus said, we are called to be what? perfect. His standards are high. We're called to be holy and pure before him. So despite the reality that we need so much grace, we still need to live up to his standards. And we can only do that when we're gracious to each other and with each other, working towards each other's victory in Christ. Don't you want to get there? We cannot get there by praying harder, by working harder, by studying the Bible more. Those are a part of it. But the way we're going to get there is by us working together, by us men understanding women, by us women understanding men, and there's a victory at the other side of that. Don't you want to get there? Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? And by the way, and I've had this conversation before, we know that when a woman walks, if we get successful in reaching this neighborhood and a woman walks in here by what we see as inappropriately dressed, it is not our call to go and tell them they need to go home and change and come back. And unfortunately, I think all of us realize that one. But I don't think that we realize that by time they've come back for the fifth time, now it's time for us to tell her that. We need a lot of grace. And as we'll discuss in a couple weeks when we talk about how to respond to homosexuality, if someone who is homosexual and that's a parent comes into this building, it is not our responsibility to go there immediately. That person also needs a lot of grace. So, as the worship team leads us, we have a few moments here. What is it that you need to do this morning? Again, whether it's regarding sexuality or it's regarding some other flesh issue, guys, do we need to come down here and repent for our blaming others, justifying our actions? And do we need to receive the Lord, the Holy Spirit's enabling power for us to commit to and from this day forward walk the way that he wants us to walk? Men, if that's you, and again, there's no judgment. We're not assuming that you're coming forward because of sexuality. It could be any number of flesh issues. Then I want to invite you to come down to these altars, lay yourself before the Lord, and let him do an amazing work in you. Ladies, and ladies are by no means exempt from sexual temptation, so if that applies to you, then come. Or some other flesh issue. But also, ladies, if you are noticing and acknowledging, and perhaps the Holy Spirit is convicting you, that while, yes, a man's sins are not your fault, perhaps you've been inconsiderate. Whether you had the attitude of, who cares what happens with a guy, this is the way I'm going to be, or whether it just never crossed your mind. Perhaps this morning you need to come because you realize you weren't being loving. You weren't responsible for the sin, but you weren't really loving your brother in Christ. And you want to come and repent before the Lord and ask him to begin to move in you with his Holy Spirit and help you with that and enable you to make a commitment to live the way he calls you to live. Wherever you're coming from this morning, right down here at these altars, I invite you to come and let the Holy Spirit be at work in us this morning. Just for a moment, heads bowed and eyes closed. For obvious reasons, this call might be somewhat awkward for some of you. And while there have been those in the past that have berated pastors for giving private invitations like the one I'm about to give, this is a moment where we need to be reminded that there's a need for lots of grace. And so with heads bowed, eyes closed, being respectful to those around us, you're here this morning, you didn't come forward for all the different reasons, but you would say, you know what? Whether that's me, I struggle with justifying my actions and my sins and blame it on others. And I want today to be a day that something changed in me, and I want delivered from that. Would you lift your hand? That's you. Good. Anybody else? Good. Oh, good, good. Lots of hands. Good, good. Head still bowed, eyes closed. You're here this morning, and there's things that maybe have crossed your mind or things that never did, but now they're there. And like Paul said, I wasn't convicted of coveting until it was pointed out to me. Maybe here this morning, whether you're a woman and this is the case for you, or maybe it's the case for a man, but often for a woman, you're realizing that you've not been considerate with this thing. You've not considered it with love in your heart for your brother and sister in Christ. You've not been understanding, and you want to change that. Again, whatever those outcomes are, not really concerned about that, but that the love of Christ is in our hearts for our brothers, sisters in Christ. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You'd say, that's me. I need help for that. Would you lift your hand? Anybody? Good. Anybody else? Good. Anybody else? So, Lord Jesus, you see the needs. You see where we are. And we ask that you would give us a law of grace. We're asking for your forgiveness when we've crossed the line we shouldn't, and maybe even so damage into other people's lives. We're asking you for forgiveness for when we've done things that we weren't considerate of others. And we're asking that you'd forgive us of that. Show us lots of grace. And help us, Lord, going forward to walk in purity, to walk in love. And help us to begin to be a spark that will bring purity and hope and grace and life and holiness to the world around us. It is so obvious that the world needs this help, Lord. So we're asking you to give it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, again, wonderful that you're with us this morning. And it was nice to see you. In a moment, I'm going to run out the door so you won't see me anymore. Just kidding. Next week is Mother's Day, so we're going to take a break and we're going to focus on why are we supposed to honor people in our lives and how are we to do that. We're going to look at that before we get back to ending this journey on what to do with homosexuality, and we'll look at that. If you're new with us, we're so glad you came this morning, and I have a gift for you in exchange. There's a communication card that should have been in the pew in front of you or in a welcome packet you received. If you would, fill that out, please, and stick around for a moment for me to catch you, and I have a gift for you for being with us this morning. But let's go and walk in his purity and his love. Amen? God bless you.